I trust that you are reading your daily manna readings daily. And if you are reading them, you would know that yesterday we had our last reading in the book of Matthew. So I can say congratulations. You have read one whole book of the Bible so far this year. Only 65 more to go. Well, that is assuming that you don't read anything else. Of course, the schedule for the daily manna is to read through the Bible in 2 years. So we still have a little ways to go if you follow that particular schedule. And so if you do follow the daily manna, you would have been reading in Mark chapter 1 today. And Lord willing, we'll be looking at Mark's Gospel next Sunday. But today, I would like to preach on the last few verses in Matthew chapter 28, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And I've actually, for my outline, taken the outline that was presented in the thought in the daily manna reading. So it was an excellent outline, a very clear outline. So I'm following that particular outline. And you see in that outline the word all 4 times. And so we'll be looking at each one of these. But it begins in verse 18 when Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So the first all that we see in this passage is all power. Now the Greeks used 2 main words for the word power, as we see that in the New Testament. One of these words is the word dunamis. This is the root word where we get English words like dynamo, dynamic, dynamite. They all come back to that Greek word dunamis. And it is an active power. It is a dynamic power. That is not the word that is used here. Alright? But it is the word that is used in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 when Jesus tells his disciples, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So there, he says, you shall receive power, that is dynamic power, this dynamite power, this strength to witness for me. But here, in Matthew 28, this version of the Great Commission, another Greek word is used, and that is the word exousia. Exousia. And this has the idea of the power that comes from authority. And so sometimes this word is simply translated as authority. And so we'll talk about this authority just in a little bit more. But what happens is, Jesus says, all power is given unto me. It is God the Father then who gave the Lord Jesus Christ all power or all authority, and he says in heaven and in earth. Now, if you have authority, you are able to give orders. And so, because the Lord Jesus Christ has the authority given to him by the Father, he has the power, the authority to give orders, as we see in the Great Commission. That's interesting to think about this as you think of authority and power. For instance, a policeman has power. That is, he has authority. But if he tells you stop and you keep driving, he's not some kind of a Superman that holds out his car and you hit his hand and the car stops. No, you'll run right over him. He doesn't have that physical power. But he does have the authority to put up his hand and say, stop. Let me tell you what happens when there is no police. This goes back to October the 6th of the year 1969. Some of you are not around at that time, I know. But on that day, the police in Montreal, Canada, decided to go on strike for 24 hours. So for 24 hours, there was no police. There was no authority in charge to say, don't do this, don't do that. It was such a chaotic day that the Canadians called it Black Tuesday. In the 24-hour period that there was no authority, one policeman and one burglar were murdered. 49 people were injured or wounded. There were quite a number of holdups and robberies. And over 1,000 store windows were broken as people looted stores, stealing things like stereos and TVs and radios and clothing and things like that. Remember, it's 1969, so some of the things that we have today, you know, they didn't steal any computers because back in 69 they really didn't have any computers to steal. But whatever was available in those days, they stole. The stereos, you know, the TVs, the things like that. And that was in just one 24-hour period in one city in Canada. Thank God. He is still in control. And he has passed all authority to the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And so Jesus can say, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. And therefore, I can now tell you, my disciples, my followers, what to do. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. So that is the second all that we see in this passage here. All nations. Christ gave his followers a mandate to move out of their immediate domain. Go ye therefore. You're here now. You're in the Galilee with me. But go now. Go unto all nations. He moved them out of their comfort zone. You know, comfort zone is a nice thing to have, isn't it? But we don't like to leave our comfort zone. New experiences. Things we have not done before. Scary experiences. Difficult experiences. But yet that's what Jesus said. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. They were to be involved in global missions. They were to reach out to all nations. You know, it's easy to just stay home, but they were to go to all nations. I'm not sure if it was in the Australian newspapers or not, but the Dutch newspapers have mentioned that a Dutch missionary was just murdered this past week in Kenya. So I say, I don't know if it's in the papers here or not. But it was certainly a headline in the Dutch newspapers. But think of it. There's a man who's left his home, go to another country to serve the Lord. But he was murdered and his wife was raped. Things happen. So we need to pray for these people that are willing to go to all nations. You know, to talk about that, in a sense, I suppose we should look a little bit at the life of William Carey. William Carey was born in 1761. He died in 1834. He is known as the father of modern missions. By profession, he was a cobbler. We might say a shoe repair man, but you know the word cobbler. He was also a pastor, Baptist pastor in England. And in his cobbler's shop, he put on the wall a world map. And as he put that world map on there, he was able to write in some of the information about these different countries. And he prayed for these different countries. As a pastor, he met sometimes with other pastors. And in one particular meeting, the question was raised, what shall we discuss now? You know, anything particular that we need to talk about? And Carey suggested, why don't we discuss the duty of Christians to attempt the spread of the gospel among heathen nations? He'd been very much burdened by that subject. That's why he had a world map on the wall of his cobbler shop. But the attitude of people at that time towards mission, this is the late early 1790s when this happened, the attitude of people is well seen in the response that the moderator of that meeting gave when Carey suggested, let's discuss the responsibility that Christians have of spreading the gospel among the heathen. The moderator said, young man, sit down. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he will do it without your aid or mine. And that was the attitude. We don't need missionaries. If God wants to save people, he'll save them. I've seen that attitude even here in Australia. It's wrong to invite people to come to church. Oh, I didn't know that. But that's what I was told one time. It's wrong to invite people to come to church. Because if God wants them to come to church, all we have to do is make sure that the door is open and God will work in the hearts of the people and he will bring them right into the church. We don't have to do anything. Sounds like a cop out to me. Jesus said, go into the highways and byways. Compel them to come in. So Jesus said, invite them to come. But this particular fellow told me, no. Inviting them is wrong. No, we do want to invite people. Well, Carey was told, if God wants to convert the heathen, he'll do it without your aid or mine. Short time after that, Carey published a little booklet. The title is almost as long as the booklet. It's an inquiry into the obligation of Christians to use means for the conversion of the heathen. Oh yeah, that's part of the title. The actual title is considerably longer than that. But even the short title is already very long. On 1792, I think it was May the 31st, Carey preached that famous sermon, Enlarge the Place of Thy Tent, in which he said, you know, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God, saying that many of you have heard. That was in 1792, and in 1793, he went as a missionary to India. He took it seriously that we must go unto all nations. And so we see, first of all, then, all power. Secondly, we see all nations. But then we see, thirdly, and that is in verse 20, all things. When Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, in the Great Commission, in a sense, we see the word teach twice. In verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Actually, two different Greek words are used here. The first of these is actually a word that is related to the word disciple. It is actually a verb form of the word disciple. We might say disciple-wise sometimes. I suppose that's a new invention of that word. Huh? You probably won't find that in your dictionary. It's got a nice red line under it when you type it in your computer. You know, but that's the idea, to disciple-ize. It is not simply a question of making converts, but of making disciples. So, go ye therefore and teach. That is, make disciples among all nations. That is the idea there. Making disciples. A disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not simply one who confesses his sins to the Lord and believes on the Lord. Now that's the starting point. Because we're all sinners. And we can only be saved by grace through faith. So we're saved when we confess our sins to God. Ask him to save us. But then, we are, as the Bible says, like new babies. And as new babes in Christ, we should desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. So we are to grow in Christ. That is, to become disciples. To become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. But here now, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In other words, believers are to teach the whole counsel of God. Now that's the phrase that Paul uses when he speaks to the church elders in Ephesus. You know, this is when he is in Miletus. There was a beautiful thing last year to the Greek Turkey. Remember, we went to Miletus. We couldn't go to Patmos because of the storm on the sea there. And so instead we went to Miletus. But it's in Miletus that Paul met with the Ephesian elders. And he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I've been faithful in preaching the whole counsel of God. And so this is what we are seeing here then, when Jesus says, observe them to keep all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have a responsibility. We are to help new converts to mature in the faith. We are to help them to grow in their faith. I mentioned Peter, you know, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Well, they can desire the sincere milk of the word, but somebody still has to give it. You know, when you take those little babies, some of them probably in our cry room right now, and we don't hear them crying because there's double glass there, but if there wasn't, we'd probably hear them. And they can't do much for themselves, can they? All they can do is cry and say, you know, then the parents got to try to figure out whether they're crying because they're wet or because they're hungry, you know, so you've got to try to figure that out. It doesn't take long, by the way, of course, to figure that out. But the child needs to be fed by somebody. And so the same way as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, somebody, a mature Christian, has to give them that word. So we have a responsibility to teach new converts, to help them mature in the faith, because they must grow in grace. They must grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's another word for that, sanctification. In other words, our church theme for this year, growing in Christ-likeness. So when you see the new converts, they must be taught. You know, it's interesting. When we first came to Australia in 1985, you know, first settling here, never been here before, same as many of you have migrated here, and it's all new, you know, and you get to know people and talking to them. I was told that the greatest need here in Australia was not so much for evangelism, but was for solid Bible teaching. Sound Bible teaching. And if I look at our church, you know, in a sense, that is what we need. Sound, solid Bible teaching. That's why I'm very pleased that the 2 o'clock Bible class on Genesis, we have a lot more people than I expected would come. You know, I thought, oh, if we have 15, 20 people, we're doing pretty good. But we're running about 40 every week. So we have a lot more than I, maybe it's my lack of faith. I don't know. But we have more people than, frankly, I thought would be there. And that's good, because we need that Bible teaching. We need to really learn that Word of God. That's why it's good Wednesday night also, that we're studying some of those key doctrines in the Bible. Again, that we have an understanding there. And, you know, over the years, it's been our privilege to travel extensively. We've been in Africa. I've been in Central and South America as well. My wife did not go with me on those trips. But you know, whenever we were, that same cry was there. What we need is Bible teaching. That's why in Kenya, for instance, they started Bible colleges, you know, and we have taught at Bible college in Kenya because the people need that solid Bible teaching. Because that's what Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So somebody needs to go and do that teaching. Last week, Dr. Backus was here. Some of you were here Wednesday night. You heard him speak. And as we were talking to him, I asked him outright, Dr. Backus, you know, we sent a team from our church to Myanmar. He had just come from Myanmar. What could we do? And the first thing he said is Bible teaching. So that is a need. Bible teaching. Teaching the Word of God. Can you help with that? Now, they have a seminary there, or a Bible college. most of you would not be able to teach in the Bible school. But you can teach Sunday school, teach the children in the orphanage. So there are areas where many of you would be able to help out and would be able to teach. That need is there, because Jesus says all things are to be taught. So on the lower levels, we might say, the kindergarten level, the primary level, the secondary level, tertiary level. So there are different levels of teaching, but the Bible teaching is needed. Teaching them, says Jesus, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now there's one more all in verse 20. Alright, we saw in verse 18, all power. In verse 19, all nations. So far in verse 20, all things. Now there's one more all here in verse 20, the word always. Or if you want to keep it at all, A-double-L, all times. All times. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, says Jesus. Now the end of the world is not space, but time. Within this context here and the use of the word. What I mean by space as opposed to time, space, you know, whether you go to Australia, you go to Singapore, and you go to, you know, you go to Myanmar, or you go to New Zealand, or you go to North America, or you go to Europe, that would be space. But the word that is used here is a word that indicates time rather than space. So when Jesus says, I'm with you always, all times, even unto the end of the world, he is saying unto the end of the age. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 10 years from now, if he hasn't come yet, so to the end of the age. And that's why I say all times. So that's what the Great Commission concludes with. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, to the end of the age. I'm not going to say a lot more about that, except to tell you what happened to G. Campbell Morgan, or George Campbell Morgan. He was born in 1863, died in 1945, and two separate periods in his life. He was the pastor of Westminster Chapel in London. Sometime after him became Martin Lloyd-Jones, and some of you know that name. But early in his ministry, he tells that he would visit some group of elderly ladies. And as he would meet with these elderly ladies, he would read the Bible to them. And so as he came to the end of Matthew's Gospel, he obviously read verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then Morgan added, isn't that a wonderful promise? And one of the ladies that was there quickly replied, young man, that is not a promise. It is a fact. It's a fact. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Interesting, isn't it? He didn't say, I promise to be with you. No, he makes it as a statement. I am with you always. So G. Campbell Morgan was corrected. That's a fact. Our Lord is with us at all times. Of course, at all times today, tomorrow, next week, next year. It is also true that he is with us here in Perth, or if you go to Sydney, he's with you there. Or if you go to New Zealand, he is with you there. Or wherever we go in the world, he is there as well. We know that. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them, he says. But also we know that he is omnipresent. He is present everywhere. So it makes no difference where in the world we are. He is there. But it's also true today, tomorrow, to the end of the age, that he is there with us as well. In conclusion, let me quote to you a poem by A.B. Simpson. It's put also in a hymn, you go to the computer, you know, you can listen to the music of that. But I will just read these five stanzas to you. It's entitled, A Missionary Cry. 100,000 souls a day are passing one by one away. In Christless guilt and gloom, without one ray of hope or light, with future dark as endless night, they're passing to their doom. O Holy Ghost, thy people move, baptize their hearts with faith and love, and consecrate their goals. At Jesus' feet, their millions pour, and all their ranks unite once more, as in the days of old. The Master's coming draweth near. The Son of Man will soon appear. His kingdom is at hand. But ere that glorious day can be, this gospel of the kingdom we must preach in every land. Oh, let us end his coming haste. Oh, let us end this awful waste of souls that never die. 1,000,000,000 still are lost. The Savior's blood has paid the cost. Oh, hear their dying cry. They're passing. Passing fast away. 100,000 souls a day in Christless guilt and gloom. Oh, Church of Christ, what wilt thou say when in the awful judgment day, they charge thee with their doom? It's a good question, isn't it? O Church of Christ, Covenant Bible Presbyterian Church, what will you say when in the awful judgment day, they charge you with their doom? What are you going to do about the Great Commission? All power, all nations, all things, all times. What are you going to do about it? First of all, you can pray. You can pray for missions. You can pray for missionaries. Secondly, you can provide for them. You may know that every Sunday, out of our offering, 10% is designated for missions. So if you put $10 in the offering, $1 of that will go to missions. If you put $100 in the offering, $10 of that will go towards missions. Unless you specify, put an envelope and write on there for missions, then all of it will go to missions. But this is how we help to support missions. So you can pray. You can provide. And you can participate in mission trips. Lord willing, we'll have a trip to Esperance later on this year. And Lord willing, we may have one or two teams going to Myanmar to help with the Lord's work there. The need is there. Are we willing to obey the Great Commission? Ask yourself, what can I do? Not in my own strength, but with God's help. What can I do? And then do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the Great Commission that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave to his followers. Lord, we know that he had all power, all authority, and therefore he can tell us that we should go to all nations, to make disciples among all nations, and then to teach these disciples all things that Jesus had commanded. And Father, we thank thee too that we have that fact that Jesus is with us, even unto the end of the age. Lord, help us to examine our own hearts, our own lives. What can I do to fulfill the Great Commission, to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? And then, Father, help us to be not just hearers, but doers of that word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our